Hey, good morning, church family, and we welcome those who are with us here in person, and also for those that are with us online. We thank you for coming and worshiping with us. We started a sermon series a number of weeks ago called It's All About the One. And today we come to the conclusion of that series. And the whole series has been based about that our lives are all about the one God. And because of that, there are some things that we are to do. It says that we have one purpose, and that is that everything that we say and do, we are to bring glory to God. He created us to be salt and light, to go out and to influence our world. He says we are to have one heart. It is a heart that really loves upward with God, and it lives outward and loves outward to our neighbors and to others. And then there is that one decision, a decision that every one of us needs to make, and that is to come into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And then we talked last week about one union. Talked about God's picture of marriage and how God created marriage, and that marriage was to be something that was to be permanent, that was to be honoring Him, and it was a picture of Christ in the church. And so today, we talk about one mission. Now, when I was a teenager growing up, there was a television program that mesmerized me. And it started the same way each week. There was a white-haired man who would be walking around looking for a place of security and isolation where he can kind of be off by himself. And sure enough, he found that spot. And he would take out a small tape recorder. And he would play that tape. And when he'd push play, it would start out by saying, "Good morning, Mr. Phelps." And then there was an envelope that had a picture of some different individuals. And in the midst of that tape, the voice was giving him a mission that he was to do. And he says, "If you decide to accept this mission," and he lays out, and this is what the end game will be. And with that tape, he gave him all the details that he needed in order to be able to take on this particular mission. And it was a mission that was so big that it was almost impossible. And so he had a force of people that worked with him called the IMF, the Impossible Mission Force. And they together would work together in order to accomplish this particular mission. Okay? Now, what's interesting is that when he asked him this question, he would also close it out by saying, "And this tape will what? Self-destruct in 5 seconds. Tape will self-destruct in 5 seconds. Listen, over 2,000 years ago, Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God, stood on a mountain and he had 11 followers around him. And with those 11 followers, he gave them some final instructions. He gave them a mission that you could look at it and say, it's almost impossible. The good news is when he finished talking to them, the tape did not destroy and self-destruct in 5 seconds. We have a copy of it. We have a record of it right here in God's Word about what he said. And I've got a feeling that those 11 men felt like Mr. Phelps, thinking, "Good gracious, how are we going to do this?" And Jesus lays out the words, not only what he wants to do, but also how it will be done. And what he does is he gives them one mission. So if you've got your Bibles, Matthew chapter 28, it's the last chapter of the book of Matthew, starting in the 16th verse. And this is what Jesus said to them. "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" Now, follow with me. One mission. Jesus gives us our one mission. He is the one who gives us our one mission. And let's just break it down. First of all, we have to look at the authority of his person. Who is this that's giving this mission, and how can he give them this particular mission? In verse 18, it says, "All authority is given to me in heaven and earth." All authority has been given to me. That means that Jesus Christ has complete authority over every living creature in heaven and on earth, and only Jesus can make that claim since he is fully God. And God is the one who gave him that authority. All right, follow with me. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. Look at what the Apostle Paul says. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, did you see clearly what he said? He says all will bow. There was a time earlier in Jesus' life at the beginning of his ministry where Satan came up to him and he told Jesus, if you will just bow to me, I will promise you all the kingdoms of the world if you'll just bow to me. But Jesus refused. And he decided to stay with God's plan, and God's plan took him to a cross, to where he was crucified, to where he died for the sins of all mankind. But then 3 days later, God raised him from the dead. And because he was obedient to God, and he died the death of payment for our sins, that death of atonement, and because God then raised him from the dead, he honored him, and he set him above all others. And he says, all will bow down. And he proclaimed him as King of Kings. And he says, I've given you authority in heaven and earth. Satan was offering Jesus the world. God was offering him the universe. Satan was offering the temporary, and God was offering him eternal. And let me just put a side note here. Don't settle for the temporary at the expense of the eternal. Don't settle for the temporary at the expense of the eternal. Satan will always come alongside and try to derail us and will tempt us to go against the principles that are taught in Scripture. And what Satan is wanting to do, and to me, he wants to give us the temporary, and he wants us to settle for less. Let me challenge you to follow the teachings of God's Word, and you will be stretching for the best. And you will be doing what God's will is, which is best for him, and it also is in your own best interest. We do not face a lost world on the basis of our authority, but on the authority of Jesus Christ. The universal authority of the Lord leads to the universal authority and the mission of the church. And the mission of the church is your mission and my mission, and it is one mission. One mission. And so what is that? Well, let's take a look at it. Number two is, what are the aspects of his plan? What are the aspects of this plan? Okay, he says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. And in verse 19, he says, therefore, now follow me, because I have all the authority, therefore you do this. Listen, I don't know what kind of business you may be working in, but if you were ever working, let's just say in a sales organization, and there was a CEO that was going to drop into your work, and the CEO dropped into your work with you as a salesperson or your sales team, and he says, there's some things I'm going to tell you. If the CEO tells you, do you think it's a suggestion or do you think it's a command? I think it's a command. And since Jesus has all authority, this is not called the Great Suggestion, it's called the Great Commission. And it is the Great Commission because of his authority and what he says. So what he does is he makes it really simple. He's going to give you the what, and then he gives you three hows. Gives you the what, and then he gives you the three hows. He starts right here with the what. Number one is this, make disciples. He says, go therefore and make disciples. Now, the way this sentence is set up grammatically is that make disciples is the verb. It's the imperative. And then the other three things are the participles that support that. So the imperative explains the central thrust of the commission, and it is make disciples. Now, what is make disciples? Listen, make disciples is evangelism in its fullest sense. Make disciples is evangelism in its fullest sense. And what I mean by that, it's more than just sitting down with a tract or a scripture and leading a person to Christ and leaving it there. No, this is a process. You share the gospel with a person. In that person prays and receives Christ as Savior. You don't leave them, you hang with them. And then you begin to teach them things of God. And the goal is for them to be a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ. That's what discipleship is. You say, well, is that like a 6-week program? Is it an 8-week program? It's a lifetime program. Because we're always growing in our walk with Christ. And so our goal is to help lead a person to Christ and then help them to take those next steps, to help them in their walk to become a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ. And so Jesus says, I want you to make disciples. This is the thrust for them. And guess what he said? Make disciples of who? Right here he says, of all nations. Make disciples of all nations. That Greek word is ethnos, which means ethnic. So it's ethnic people. It's people groups. So it's not geographic nations. It is people groups. And our responsibility is make disciples of all the peoples over all the world. You say, well, how are you supposed to do that? Well, in order to do that, you do the three participles, okay? And the first participle is this, and that is go. Go. He starts it out. It's like, therefore, you need to go and make disciples. And it technically, it means while you're going. Literally, it is while you are going. So he looks at these 11 men. He says, okay, guys, listen, while you're going in your daily walk, every day, every moment, every one of you, while you're going, you need to make disciples of all the nations. That means no matter where we are, we should be witnesses for Jesus Christ, seeking to win others to him. Going. It means crossing boundaries to make disciples. It means going across the street. It means going overseas. It means going to dinner with an unbelieving friend. It means going into the inner city, going to the college campus, going beyond your comfort zone to make the gospel accessible to the lost. For some of you, your call will be to leave these pews and to go overseas and make disciples. In the last 20 years, we've had over 200 people that were sitting in these pews that have left and said, God's called me to go overseas and to do that. For some of you, it may be that God has called you to leave this place right here and to go into another city. And what we've identified as send cities, major cities, to help church planters, to help them in their work. We've had a number of people that have left these pews and have done that exact same thing. Okay? For some of us, it is reaching the world right here in Birmingham. You know, the great thing about today is that the world is coming to us. Historically, in our early learning center, we have 17 nationalities that are represented. That's unbelievable. You can go to the world just to go down to the first floor and see people. UAB, what is it, about 10, 15 minutes away from us? There are 83 countries represented of students, over 1,000 students in 83 countries there at UAB. We can reach the world right here and just go no more than 15 minutes away from our campus over here. And so there are some of us that want to do that. But for the most of us here, it is just reaching those that are around us. It's just a matter of being intentional and making friends and finding friends who do not know Christ as Savior and engaging in gospel conversations. Now, some of you, your first response is, hey, I'm telling you what, they don't want to talk about churchy stuff. They don't want to talk about spiritual things. Do you know that the latest research that came from Lifeway says 79% of unchurched people were asked this question. If your friend wanted to share with you about their faith, would you be open to it? 79% said yes. You know what that means? That means 4 out of 5. 4 out of 5 people that you befriend and you begin to build a friendship with them, 4 out of 5 would be open for you to talk to them about your faith. So we don't need to back off on this. We don't need to sit there and say no one's going to be interested. Hey, if you're building a friendship, according to research, they would love to get into discussion with you on that. That's the go part. Okay? So, he says you need to make disciples. First of all, is going. Second is baptizing. He said here, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. He said, whoa, does that mean I got to baptize everyone? Slow down. All right. What that means is that when a person makes a decision for Christ, then they take that next step of obedience and baptism. And what baptism is, it is a public profession of your faith. You've seen it when we baptize people here. A person makes a decision for Christ. The scripture says they are then to be baptized. They are to identify with Christ. And that person comes into the baptistry. They stand there in the baptistry. And it's a beautiful picture of really what Christ did in his life. He came to earth. And when he came to earth, he died for our sins. He was buried. 3 days later, he was raised from the dead. And then he ascended to heaven. And when that person walks into the water, it also represents when they stand there, their public profession of faith. I have received Christ as Lord. I ask them, is Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? And they answer in the affirmative. I kid them when we baptize because I've walked through that. So I'm going to ask you, is Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? And sometimes they just stare at me and say, if you say no, we're done. Okay? You got to say yes to get to the next part. You say no, you're dry. Wet. Yes, you're wet. Okay. So when they say yes, he is, then what you do is you then take them under the water, and it's a picture of the fact that they've died to themselves. Died to their old life. And then when they come raising up out of the water, it's a beautiful picture that their sins have been washed away and they are a new creation. And then when they walk out of the water, it represents the new life in Christ that they will be leading. And so what Jesus is telling his followers is, listen, you got to actively be going. Everywhere you go, every moment, every day, being able to share the message of Christ. And there will be those who will want to make that decision. And when they do, you need to make it public. You need to take that next step of obedience and baptism. But you see, it doesn't end there. Because then he says, teaching them to observe all these things whatsoever I've commanded you. Teaching them. Teach these new believers, teach them the words of Scripture. And he says, teach them everything. Okay? Not just a few things, but teach them all the words. And so it's a constant learning process. You teach them Scripture so they can obey God, and then they can live a life of purpose and fruitfulness. You continue to teach mature believers so that they can advance in their Christian life. We're constantly learning. But this is what discipleship is. And so when you think about discipleship, he says, teaching them to observe. That word means to heed. It means to obey. So you're not teaching them for knowledge. You're teaching them for life change. You're not just teaching them to say, hey, memorize this acrostic or memorize this scripture. No. I want you to see what God's word says. Now, how do you put that into your life? How does that get fleshed out in your life? Teaching them to observe, to obey, to heed all the things that I have taught you, all the things that I have commanded you. It's not just knowing facts. It is integrating it into your life. As a church, we are to equip people not just for personal growth, but also for personal impact. You see, every member truly is a missionary. Every member is a missionary. And you see, every one of us has one mission. And Jesus said, he says, listen folks, all authority has been given to me. And because of that authority, this is what you're supposed to do. Make disciples. You say, well, how do I make disciples? You need to go. Everywhere you go, you need to share. You're then to baptize. You're to see people make decisions for Christ. And then you are to teach them and lead them down that road, to help them to grow to be fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. But then look how he closed it out. He closed it out with the assurance of his presence and power. The assurance of his presence and power. And he says, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. I am with you always. It means strictly the whole of every day. Make note, the whole of every day. Behold, I am with you always. It means the whole of every day. I am with you 24/7. Now, if you watch that TV series, Mission Impossible, Mr. Phelps is listening to that little tape. And he tells him, you know, if you decide to accept this assignment, and then he goes on through there. And at the very end, he'll tell him, hey, this tape will self-destruct in 5 seconds. And the last thing he says is, good luck, Jim. And then it self-destructs. Aren't you glad that when you look at Scripture, that Jesus didn't stand there and look at the 11 disciples and he said, these are the things that you're to do. All right? You're to go. You're to make disciples. You're baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all these things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I wish you good luck and I'm going to pull a Costanza, and I'm out of here. And he's gone. What would that be like? You know, he didn't do that. He closed it out. He gave them this incredible challenge, but then he didn't just give them a good luck, hope things work out. I will always be there with you. My power and my presence. What an amazing promise. That means he has to be with each one of the disciples when he is gone. He will give them all knowledge. He gives them the power. He's going to be with them every day. He's going to help tell them what they are supposed to say. He's with us. He walks with us through life. He sustains us through the low times. He encourages us during the high times. I mean, he's with us 24/7. You see, folks, that just makes this whole thing so much easier. Because it's not something that should be handed down 2,000 years ago and say, hey, good luck. Wish you a lot of success. It is, my presence and my power will be with you. Now listen, because his presence and power will always be with us, it means that the mission never changes. In April of 1970, the Apollo 13 crew, they lifted off, and they lifted off to go to the moon. And their mission was to be the third team to make a lunar landing and to walk on the surface of the moon. But on their way to the moon, they had some accident that took place. The oxygen tanks blew out. There was an explosion. And when the explosion of the tanks happened and everybody began to run the data, all of a sudden Houston realized there's no way that we can land on the moon and get back. And so all of a sudden Houston says the mission has changed. Our mission is not to land on the moon. Guess what? Our mission is to get our astronauts back home and get them home safely. That is now our mission. It changed. Listen, folks, you're never going to see this mission change. You are never going to have anybody stand in front of you and say, hey, Matthew 28, 18 through 20, hey, that was old news. This thing has changed because things are just happening differently than God expected. No, no. He has all authority. And he's telling you, this is the mission. You don't need to ask questions about it. It's not a suggestion. It is a commission. And it will not change. And he says, my presence, my power will be here. We all have this. It is called the one mission. And now how do you know this, Danny? 2 Peter 3:9 says this. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises, some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. It is God's desire that all should reach repentance. And the ball's in our court. The ball's in our court. To be able to be his witnesses. And he says, I'm giving you all the presence and I'm giving you all the power. He has accomplished his work. The ball's in our court to accomplish it. Our one mission. Let me close with this. And that is the fourth, and that is the adaptability of your plan. The adaptability of your plan. Now, the first three things I told you was all about God, about his authority, the aspects of his plan, also the assurance of his presence. Well, the Apostle Paul has taken this to heart, and so what he has done is talked about his own adaptive mission strategy. And look what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 19 through 23. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, look what he says. For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all that I might win more of them. To the Jews I became as a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. So right here, he's saying, I'm doing whatever. If it's to the Jews, I'm being like the Jews, okay? If it's those that were not born in the Jewish faith, but they've adopted it, and they've got these dietary standards, these laws, I will obey those dietary standards, even though I don't have to. And then the Gentile, okay? The Gentile, even though they don't keep up with all of these Jewish requirements and stuff, I don't need to do that either. He says, to the weak I became weak that I might win the weak. I had become all things to all people that by all means I might save some. You might want to underline that word, some, to encourage us, because that means that every person we share with is not going to make a decision for Christ. Even the Apostle Paul said, All of them will not come, but my job is to tell the message. And he says, I do it all for the sake of the gospel that I may share with them in its blessing. So what is Paul saying here, folks? Paul is saying to never lose focus on the priority of your one mission. That is to reach others with the gospel. And you do this because of your love for people and your love for the Lord. Now, I know God has commanded me to do this, but really what God has done is God put into my heart a love for others. Because every person is created in God's image. And my desire is that they would spend eternity with God and not be separated from Him. And so because I love others, I need to share this. And so what Paul did is he says, I've got this love and I've got a strategy, and it's an adaptive mission strategy. And it started out by saying, he says, I'm free, but I'm going to be a slave or a servant to all. Now during that day, you could categorize people in different categories, male, female, free, or slave. And he said, I'm free, but for the gospel, I'm going to be a slave. And what it means by being a slave is that I will adapt to be able to reach these people for Christ. During that day, one of the probably job requirements for a slave was to be able to culturally adapt. If you were a slave in a Roman household, you had to adapt to Roman culture. But if that Roman household sold you to a Jewish home, all of a sudden when you got to the Jewish home, you had to adopt to that culture. And so he says, I'm a servant, I'm a slave, I am going to adapt to the situation, to whatever the audience is, so that I can reach for Christ. Look what he says. I've become all things to all people by all means that I may save some. So what does this mean? Real quick, number one is this. Step into their world, see from their point of view. What he's saying is you need to step into their world and see from their point of view. If I'm going to try to be all things to all people, I need to, first of all, step into their world. Be a part of their world and just see from their view. And then you begin to build some of those bridges to be able to talk to things about the gospel. And a part of this is you're just waiving maybe some of your privileges to say, I'm going to put these aside to be a part of this. One example, when I had the opportunity to go to Jordan and we were doing Bible studies with pastors there, on one of the days when we had completed the studies, we drove down to Petra and saw that incredible site of archaeological ruins. And the missionary that was with us then that evening says, I want you to join with me. We're going to have dinner with a Bedouin family out up on the mountains outside. And it was an Arab family, and he wanted us to come. And so our group was going to travel up there and eat with this Bedouin family. And he said, let me give you some directions there. They will have a meal there for you. They will have, it'll be called mansaf. And mansaf is a conglomeration of ingredients, and then you'll have pita bread. And the way you eat is you take the pita bread and you scoop that up, and then you eat it. And you sit down on the ground and you eat that. And he said, all of that you can handle, but you have to eat it right-handed. Now I'm left-handed, and I always go to my left, all right? That's my go-to hand. And so every person in the group is staring at me, and he says, it's an offense if you eat with your left hand. I said, oh, really? So I said, okay. So as I go in there, and we're getting ready to sit down and eat, I made a conscious choice, don't use my left hand, okay? Now, from my standpoint, is there any problem to eat with my left hand? No, not at all. But from theirs, their culture, yes, it is. So guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to just eat with my right hand. Because I don't want to burn any bridges. I don't want to offend them on something that is not morally or ethically a problem. And so this is what you do. What if you're going to develop, if I was going to develop a relationship with a person that was a vegan? And I said, I'd like for you to meet me for lunch at the pavilion. Why don't we go eat lunch? Everybody just bring their own lunch. I'm not going to bring a Big Mac meal with extra large fries to sit down across from a vegan. Guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to bring a salad or maybe a vegetable plate. I'm going to understand that person, try to step into their world and to respect the things that they respect so that I can begin to build some bridges with them. When I was working at a telephone company, there was an individual that when I got promoted to doing sales training, this individual got promoted at the same time. We didn't really know each other very well, and they assigned us to work on a project together. And it was a kind of a high pressure thing. It was like they gave us this option. They said, you better make this class work. And so we said, we'll do it. He was a joy to work with, but he was an agnostic. And he knew I was a believer, and he didn't believe anything about God. But yet, I said, well, let's see if we can build this friendship. And we just began to talk about things that might have in common. Well, there's a lot of stuff we didn't have in common. It was interesting. He liked to work on cars. I don't know anything about a car. And he said, you need to learn how to change your oil. I said, yeah, I'll be glad to do that. And he said, well, come over to the house and I'll show you. Okay. So I took my car, got a free oil change. He did it and just kind of showed me all this stuff. And I made a mental note and said, call for help if that ever happens. But it was great. It was kind of doing something with him. He loved yard work. He was prideful about that yard. Well, we'd just gotten into our house in Pelham, and I kind of kicked into a high gear on that. We didn't have a yard service to help us on that. So he's the guy to talk to him about nitrogen and all these other things to put on your grass and the weed stuff. And so we go back and forth, even introduced me to the edger. Oh, that's the coup de grace of a yard. You edge it just right. And so, you know, these things that we're just talking about and we're doing. He was a UT fan. I was an Auburn fan. Hey, Tennessee's playing in Auburn in 1980. I said, why don't you and your wife join us, Chance? I will drive to the game. It was great. Tennessee beat us 42-0. And we sat in separate places, and then we met outside the gate. And I said, hey, guys, I'm getting ready to tell you, I got to meet my mom and dad here. Alan, when you see my dad, will you just pretend like you don't even know where the state of Tennessee is, okay? He's not going to be a happy camper right now. So we survive that. We drive back home. And so we're trying to do these things together. And in the midst of that, while we're working, we begin to have these conversations about God. He begins to ask questions about faith on there. And I'd love to sit there and say, oh, yeah, he made this decision for Christ. But he didn't after a couple of years. And we got different assignments, and our paths really didn't cross very much after that. But what I learned there was I said, okay, you need to step into their world, and you need to be able to kind of join that world with them. But then, and I was kind of talking to Janice about this too, but then I live with that one regret because he had said, you know, he loved motorcycles and he loved camping. Well, it wasn't on my top list on there. And if I had to do it over again, should have gone camping. You know, really should have. If I had been more intentional, I should have said, hey, you pick the time, I'll be glad to go on that. This is what Paul says when he says, I'll be all things to all people and so that I can win some. And so, folks, what I'm sharing with you is not rocket science. It is intentionality. And that's where I'm saying you step into their world. You see from their point of view. But then the second thing is this, don't compromise the message. There was nothing in this passage where Paul compromised the message. He didn't water it down. He didn't soft pedal it. He didn't water down the ethical demands of God's word. He continued to preach the cross and Christ crucified. So don't ever think when it says become all things to all people means that you water down the gospel message. No, not at all. You stand firm on scripture. Listen, the gospel will take care of itself. There's power in the gospel. And there's power in God's word. Don't you ever back off of and don't compromise it. He said out here that he is still under the law of Christ. That even though he may not be under the law of what these others believe, he is still under the law of Christ. So he will not compromise the message. And number three is this, keep your bearings in Christ. Don't lower your standards. Keep your bearings in Christ and don't lower your standards. Too many people read that verse and it says, become all things to all people. And they read it by saying, hey, when in Rome, do as the Romans. You know, there's nothing in that to say, hey, this guy's a real partier. I'm going to get with him. We're going to go bar hopping and sleep around with some different women. No, that's not what you're supposed to do. Okay? That's not talking about that at all. He is saying right here that keep your bearings on Christ. Do not lower your standards, but you do waive your privileges. It's a privilege for me to be able to eat with my left hand, but I waive that privilege when I was with those other people. Okay? It's my privilege to be able to eat a hamburger if I want to, but if I'm with the vegan, I'm going to waive that privilege because I want to try to get into their world and begin to see what, how they see life on there. Does that make sense? You see, keep your bearings in Christ. I read this in the Message, and I just love it, okay? If any of this has been a little confusing, hopefully this will make it straight. Look at 1 Corinthians 9 in the Message. He says, even though I am free of the demands and expectations of everyone, I have voluntarily become a servant to any and all in order to reach a wide range of people, religious, non-religious, meticulous moralists, loose-living immoralists, the defeated, the demoralized, whoever. I didn't take on their way of life. I kept my bearings in Christ. It's a key. But I entered their world, and I tried to experience things from their point of view. I've become just about every sort of servant there is in my attempts to lead those I meet into a God-saved life. I did all of this because of the Message. I didn't just want to talk about it. I wanted to be in on it. Man, I don't want to be on the outside just talking about God's Word. I want to jump and be all over it. And I want to tell other people about that good news of Jesus Christ. Listen, we send people out from this church and go into cross-cultural situations, and they have to make those adjustments. And sometimes it's difficult, but every one of them will come back to you and say, it was well worth it. And we need to make some of those same adjustments right here with friends that we see. Listen, we need to be all things to all people. We need to be willing to make adjustments, willing to make sacrifices. Maybe it means that you start a new hobby. Maybe it means you start a new sport. You know, I love Jacob Simmons' story, who's now the pastor at Hope Community. He got involved with improv. And the reason he got involved in improv is he wanted to be able to get a foothold into the artistic community and to be able to live amongst them, to be able to be a witness for them, both through his life and through his words. He was intentional as to why he did that. It's a great thing to do. Maybe it's just adjusting your schedule. You may have to adjust your morning schedule, your evening schedule. We have got a Sunday school class here at our church that is supporting the policemen of Vestavia, and it's called a cop stop. And what a cop stop is they'll go, they'll have one of the houses of the Sunday school is there to provide meals for the night shift policemen. And it is from 1 a.m. till 3 a.m. And people will bring food, and people will come by the house, and policemen will stop by and have a meal with them. And they do this every so often. Was there an adjustment to be made on that? And if you look at me and you say, hey, 1 to 3, that's not an adjustment for me, contact that Sunday school class. They would love to have you help out with that ministry. But can you believe it? They are making that adjustment. This is what I'm talking about. And you, in your own situation, just be creative. Have your eyes open to see who is out there that God is leading you to be able to befriend and be able to share the gospel with. Listen, we have one mission, and our Lord has given us that one mission because he has all authority. And he says, I want you to make disciples. You got to go, you baptize, you teach, and Danny, let me give you the great news. And behold, I am with you with all the power and my presence that you'll ever need. Okay? One mission. Let me lead us in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that not only did you provide this challenge to us, but at the same time, Lord, you've given us all the resources we need to make this happen. What a privilege it is for us as children of God to be a part of the grand plans of God. And so may we take that seriously. May we leave from this place with that one mission. And Lord, if there are those that are here today and they say, well, Danny, you talk about this mission, I think I'm the one that needs to understand more who this Jesus is. And today could be your day to enter into that relationship with him. And so, Lord, if you are tugging at the hearts of people, trying to pull them into that relationship with you, may today be their day where they pray and they ask you to come into their heart, knowing that your son has died on the cross for their sins, but through that resurrection can provide them eternal life. So, Lord, help us as we walk out of here later on this day that we will keep at the forefront that one mission. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.